Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another episode of Pneumaticoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show continues the theme of the resurrection power of God exhibited, first of all, inherent, and then exhibited within the lives of the believing. I want to state at the top of the show that this is an imperative, and it is also a mandate given by God in the sacred text. And so it behooves us to have a very deep and cogent awareness of the scriptures so that we might know how to lead lives that are well-pleasing to God. Now, granted, we live in a culture in which it seems the primary mandate is that of self-centeredness. But for the believing one, there is another imperative. And it is therefore important for us to know the scriptures. God has saved us, that is, rescued us. He has dragged us away from danger through the finished work of Jesus on the tree. In the book of Acts, we're told that God purchased the church with his own blood. Now, in today's culture, this message is seen to be as horrific, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save those who were apostate, to save those who were lost. And in the scriptures, the word lost means ruined, utter ruin. It is interesting that the church and let me say that the believing church and is being faced with a great challenge today. We know that in the Middle East, that believers are being persecuted on an unprecedented scale, and that believers are being singled out. One radio host, they even used the word pogrom to talk about what is happening to believing one in other countries, the great persecution that is going on today. And so dare we to continue to think that we are exempt? I think not. And so therefore it is important for us to pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries who are being murdered, who are being harassed through legal fiat as well. It is not easy being a faithful one today unto God. The realities that believers are facing today throughout the world, that is globally, are not new. They're nothing new. The book of Acts talks about the beginning of the church and in the growth of the church. It is interesting that the book of Acts records that when the church was under intense persecution, the church grew. The church grew under persecution. It was Constantine, Emperor Constantine, who united the church and the world. And the church changed dramatically under Constantine. Some say that the church was married to the world. And so therefore, the world's or cosmic views entered into the church. Because up until the time of Emperor Constantine, there were persecutions under different Roman emperors. And it is said that when Constantine was saved, mind you, that he forbade this to continue. That is the persecution of the church. Please take a look at the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, which contains for us the unveiling of Jesus Christ, and read the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And you will see some very interesting things related to the Satan, that is the opposer, or the devil, the diabolos. And once again, his name means one who separates people for no reason. Read those seven letters and gain understanding about what the enemy of the church is doing through the agency or through human agency. It is to blast at the church. It is to compromise, just to make the church mediocre in its doctrine and in the way it lives before God. But Jesus said that those who believe in him, who are truly his, cannot be separated from him. They can be snatched away from him. And that the evil one cannot harm them by or touch them in a way so as to disrupt the relationship that the believing ones have with him. He cannot exert a modifying touch or touch us in such a way that he steals us from the Son of God. The ace who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. John chapter 1 reads, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. See, in the scriptures, darkness is not benign. Darkness is active. And the believing ones in the past walked in darkness. They were the products of darkness. They practiced darkness. But now we are light. We are fast in the Lord. And so we have a different mandate with regard to how we should live, how we must live. Please also read the book of Job, the oldest book of the Bible. And the book of Job records the life of an individual who was an ancient believing one. And there one reads about the heinous mischief that was done to his life through the agency of whom? The Satan. Now in the ancient book of Job, the Satan or Ho Satan was not a proper name or proper noun. It was a title. And in the Word of God, names and titles denote essential character. Names and titles denote essential character. In other words, names and titles denote who the individual is. Job remained faithful to God throughout his harassing trials, both in his soul, in his mind, and upon his body, and upon his heart, the taking away of his family economically, the taking away or the snatching away of his riches, of his wealth, the snatching away of his social relationships. The wedge that the persecution created with his relationship with his wife. This was a horrific ordeal. Not to mention Job's friends, 3 + 1, who come in later to convince Job that most certainly in their theology, in their perception, in their understanding, he has done something wrong, that is, he has sinned. Job never confessed that there was sin in his life. This was the extent of their understanding of the person of Job. And what I want to say today is that persecution is an old thing with regard to a believing one. We are exhorted to be faithful. We will continue our study in Romans chapter 6 about the resurrection power of God. The word transliterated resurrection is from the Greek anastasis, which means to stand again. Anastasis necron, adding the word necron, is the resurrection of the dead. The Jesus was resurrected on the third day. In Acts, we are told that death could not hold him any longer. That is, death could not continue to hold him down. Death had to release him because he is indeed the Son of the living God. In his great sermon, Peter states in Acts 2:24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And the word, the verb here, move, means to waver, or means to agitate, to shake, like an earthquake. Therefore, verse 26, did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption or decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Verse 32, Peter states, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. We all are witnesses. Believers are called witnesses more times in the New Testament than Christianos. Christianos only occurs a few times in the Greek New Testament. For that fact, in the New Testament, in the English New Testament as well, the believing one is witness. It is one who testifies to what he has seen, what he has experienced in the first person. In Romans 6, verse 4, Paul states, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, that is collectively, we also should walk, that is to order our steps or behavior in newness of life. And so the Greek word here for life is, of course, zoe. And it means the highest, the word for life, the way it means the highest blessedness of the creature. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And Paul uses very interesting terms in the Greek text. He uses a prefix that denote our relationship with the living Christ. And the words that he chooses denote that we are conjoined to the Son of God. We are conjoined with the Son of God. We have a relationship with him that is both intimate and powerful. So therefore, we have a relationship with a deep and rich legacy. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, the ho teleos anthropos, our old man, is crucified, And notice the state of being where is crucified with him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, or here it means to cease or to make idle. The body is not destroyed. We live in our bodies. And we need our bodies. So Paul is speaking about a principle here that is very important for our understanding of what is to come as he goes on with his argument. That the body, purpose clause, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The resurrection power of God, in verse, at the end of verse 4, we should walk in newness of life. The life that God has given us is Zoe. And I'm not going to say spiritual life. But God has given us a brand new life that is a qualitatively different life from the old bios, B-I-O-S. Before we were saved, we merely were creatures of bios, that is, biological life. But now, because we are the saved ones, we have Zoe. And also, we are told that our old man is crucified. It is that principle in us that made us in the past to be in bondage to the practices of sin, to enslavement with regard to sin. And sin is defined as any lack or want of conformity to the character of God, whether an act, disposition, or state. In other words, our behavior, what we did, our actions, our attitudes, our predispositions to certain sin patterns. And believers who have not yielded to the power of God, even though they are believing ones, understand that when they are not filled with the Spirit, that is, when their personalities are not controlled by the Spirit of God, then they are predisposed to certain sin patterns or practices. Later on, Paul refers to this as the sparks or the flesh. And Paul will say that those who serve the flesh or the sarks cannot please God because of the mind of the flesh. You see, in Colossians 3, we're told that there is a certain action we must take because we belong to God. And in Colossians 3, 5, Paul writes, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And mortify, again, means to deaden or subdue. Mortify. It is to be a decisive cognitive event that we must have with regard to the flesh, that we might serve God as we should. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, the word here in the Greek literally means filth. Inordinate affection is the way this next word is transliterated. But in the Greek, it is this word. It is pathos, P-A-T-H-O-S, pathos. from which we in the English, it is from the word, the root patho, which means to wound, to hurt, to suffer. And pathos comes into the English as pathology. Isn't that interesting? It comes into the English as pathology. Paul writes that we are a mortified or deadened pathology. And pathology refers to the diseased condition of the soul that is indeed harmful to us. The diseased condition of the soul. The next word after pathos is evil concupiscence. And this word means the result of pathology. So pathology has deep results within the soul. It is the word epithumia or epithumian here. And covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So in verse 5, chapter 3 of Colossians, the believing ones are told to mortify or to deaden or to subdue their members. And later on I'm going to discuss this term members as used in the New Testament. But notice the calling to live a distinctively different life, to live in a different manner, to order our behavior in a different manner. The resurrection life of God. And understand this, the resurrection life of God, the life that he has chosen out for us, because we are the elect ones. Therefore, because God has elected us, we must live in a different manner. And now back in Romans 6, verse 8, Paul states, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth, no more death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon. And remember, Colossians 3:5. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And here's the part of the matter. Reckon. It means to calculate carefully, to reason. And this word reckon in the Greek is given in the present imperative. And the present imperative in the Greek means to do something right now, to make the commitment now. If we are to live the resurrection life through the power of God, we must make that decisive break with the old life. God has called us to do this, and we must be obedient to his known will. I'll continue this theme on the next show. My name is Dr. Josiah Ritchie. Bless you and have a wonderful day.